Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. A podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though if you ghost me for a full year and then text me again, I'll come running because I'm desperate. Oh, my guest today, you know her from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She fucking created it. It's a wonderful show. Also, she's got a movie on Hulu right now called Most Likely to Murder. Ba-ba-da-ba! Rachel Bloom!
Yay! Hey! I don't know why you're still single, by the way. You're fucking gorgeous. Your personality is like a piece of sparkling sunshine. And I don't think it's out of line to say, like, I bet you're really good at fucking.
I think I am.
I feel like I've heard you describe your techniques before, and I'm like, oh my God, that I didn't even think of doing. Oh, that thing?
I think I am good, and I've never gotten any complaints. If anything, I have a lot of people apologizing for coming too fast.
Yeah.
And then I say, I know, I give a powerful blowjob, and I got a fat ass. Sometimes it's a little too much to handle. And it's true. And
so
it's,
you think the ass, like having like a juicy ass, because I've been with the same guy for 10 years. And so I'm really out of the like, I've been with one dude. So having like a juicier ass is like better for the dick?
I don't know if it's better for the dick. I think it's just like, it's a lot coming at you.
Okay.
Because it's also like an angle. So it's like, it's a big round butt.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it's just like, oh, this thing that's just like really coming at me. And then there's tattoos on it. There's literature.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I have a cupcake, an ice cream cone, and a lollipop on one side. It says it's sweet, just tasted, and I just add it to it. A hamburger and a hot dog that says stick it in these buns because I thought that was very funny.
That's fucking amazing.
And then on the other side, I have a chili pepper that says muy caliente. And I just recently
got... That's only one cheek you described?
Yeah. I have a big ass. It's very big. I was dating this dude and I had gotten the hamburger and hot dog tattoo. And then we like finished and I was like, I got a tattoo. Did you notice? And he was like, yeah, I mean, I noticed the big bandage on you, but I didn't ask what it was. And I was like, I mean, you should have. What if I was like sick?
Yeah, if you're having sex with someone, they have a giant bandage near where like your parts are. You got to be like, are you okay?
Yeah, like just like a quick, what's wrong with your butt? And then I was like, I got a new tattoo. And he said, what is it, more food? And I was like, well, that seemed dismissive.
It is indeed more food.
But it is. You got it right.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's really fucking cool.
I just really love to think about things that make me laugh and then make them permanent on my body. I really just love a good chuckle.
I mean,
just a
that's
good
fucking
tea.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
I've been agonizing over what to get for my first, but the fact that you have literally bits on your ass makes
what
me
What do
like,
you want to get?
Well, I always told myself if I had my own TV show that I'd get something to commemorate it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, I wanted to get a pretzel, but so many fans of the TV show have already gotten that. Yeah. It's like, don't I want to do something that feels unique to me? Anyway, mm-hmm. relatable problems.
I mean, for me, it is. I mean,
I guess so. I guess I'm talking about a food tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of food tattoos. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what, I was like a broken heart. No. Your show's so funny.
Oh, thank you.
Like, the songs are great. They're so true to you and, like, your style. But then, like, the dialogue is just so funny as well.
Well, that's also a testament to my writing partner. Have you met my writing partner, Aline?
I don't know.
Aline Brosh McKenna. Mm. She wrote such movies as The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Every fucking word of that movie is her.
It's great.
Yeah.
The speech that Miranda Priestly gives about the color teal.
Oh, it's amazing. And Aline just basically pulled that out of her ass.
Mm-hmm.
So I am really new to fashion. Aline has loved fashion since she was like little. And I feel like you've probably loved fashion all your life.
I do. Because you're just like a dumpster right now because I was on a plane.
You don't look like a dumpster though.
Thank you.
Like, your plane look is fucking amazing.
Thank you.
But she just pulled that cerulean speech out of her ass. She
really?
Was like, yeah, this could be fashion.
I mean, I'm insanely jealous of people where writing comes easily to them and natural to them.
Well, it comes easy to you, naturally to you, though.
A little, no, it's work.
Yeah.
I think
for every writer, it's work. And then you have these bursts of inspiration, and then it's work again. And then you feel like shit when it's work because you remember the time that you wrote something in 20 minutes that was brilliant. And you're like, oh, why can't I fucking do that?
Like,
I think I've lost it.
Yes, I feel like I lose it a lot.
I feel like people describe true creative moments. It feels like you're being possessed by something else.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Rowling described the moments where she thought of Harry Potter on the train as like it felt like almost another force was like entering her mind. And that's why people have argued that she's Satan, that it's satanic, that it was the devil breathing life into her.
That's very funny to think that something so whimsical would be evil. That makes no sense.
The world where like the embodiment of evil is saying, how can I corrupt society? Oh, I know. A story about a child wizard.
An orphaned child wizard. And his ragamuffin friends.
What a lame devil.
Right?
If that's like the case. That like the worst you can do is Hermione fucking Granger.
I did not know how to say Hermione until the movies came out.
Really?
I called her Hermione.
Hermione. A lot of people thought Hermione.
Oh, Hermione. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what I was saying. It was something wrong.
Hey, it's a podcast about why are you single. Are you like a big Harry Potter fan?
Not huge, but yes. So I devoured the books.
Sure.
And I prefer the books over the movies.
I mean, same fucking here. Hashtag not my Dumbledore.
Not my Dumbledore. No, yeah. The movies were fine. A fine event to go to. But the books. Like, I remember when the last book came out, I was like sitting at my kitchen table. My dad was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I have to find out how it ends. Right now, Harry might be dead.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, who is Harry? I was like,
who is Harry?
You don't get it, daddy.
That's just a dad being an asshole. Who's Harry? He knows who Harry is.
I don't know if he did. My dad was, so my mom died when I was 16, and then my dad was, I guess, it like taking a step back, which I feel like some dads do when girls become teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So then he had to take a step forward and truly didn't know anything about being a dad. Like, he sat me and my sister down and said, what is your curfew? I said, midnight. And Catherine, my sister, said 10. She's older than me. But my dad was like, great, you come home at 10, you come home at midnight.
Wait.
And I was like, on Saturdays, I get to come home at 2? And he was like, well, all right, on Saturdays, I'll see you at 2. I think he was like, they would never lie. And I was like, that's all I do. That's all I'm going to do to you forever.
Did she then change her curfew? She's like, oh, never mind, 10.
No.
No.
She would come home at 10. My sister.
Who has a self-imposed curfew of 10 p.m.?
My sister's like a little angel. I once asked her to describe herself and she was like, well, I guess I am small, boring, and nice.
What does she do?
She's a teacher. She helps. She's a teacher's aide for kids with special needs.
Wait. Oh, my God. She's perfect.
She's
also the perfect, great. Like, that's such a rom-com protagonist.
Right?
Like, you would read that in a script, like, meet, what's your sister's name?
Catherine.
Meet Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Parentheses. Self-imposed curfew at 10 p.m. teacher for special needs. Only wears cream colors, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Or whatever.
And it's, I, like, mean, you're, and you not read far that, off.
You'd read that and be like, is anyone like that?
And you're like, but no, not at so. All.
Is she with someone?
She is not. We are two little single people with abandonment issues. We'll sometimes, like, talk about it just surfacey, where I'm like, yeah, I feel like if I ever fall in love, he's just going to go away quickly or die. And she's like, I feel the same way. Okay, well, I guess I'll call you on Tuesday. Bye.
So that's like one-to-one with your mom?
Yeah. And then my dad died when I was 21.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's,
that,
I mean,
fucking sucks.
Thank you. It does suck.
Allow me to be the first person ever to point out how much that blows. Was it unexpected with both of them?
Yeah. So my mom died of deep vein thrombosis, which is a blood clot that travels to your heart,
yeah,
and stops your heart. And it's a hard thing to track. And then my dad died from, like, a massive heart attack one day when I wasn't supposed to be home. But, like, I was living in New York and my friend was driving back to Jersey and he's like, I'll just take you. And I was like, okay, cool. And then we had, like, a great last day. And it was, like, I'm glad that we ended on good terms because, like, we didn't have the best relationship, which has now influenced my relationships with men. And that was a fun thing to find out in therapy.
Are you in extensive therapy?
Yeah, I've been in therapy for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years at this point.
You've only been in therapy for 2 years?
Well,
despite, okay.
I was in therapy in high school, and my guidance counselor, this woman, was really great to me at this school. Like, she truly went above and beyond. She would take me to therapy, and I didn't like that therapist because she had red lipstick and a bunch of books that I thought were fake, and I was just like, you're lying. You're telling me lies.
Uh-huh.
Then I had another therapist in college, who tried to hypnotize me.
What?
She didn't. I lied and said she did. And then I was like, well, I can't go back to her because I think she's going to try it again and I'm lying to her. And then it was also all the way in Brooklyn. I was living in the Upper West Side. I'm like, this is not a good match. And then my friend Marcy Jaro, you know Marcy,
of
she
course.
Found me my current therapist. She was like, here, talk to this woman.
She
you got
found you a therapist?
Uh-huh.
Why did Marcy find you a therapist?
Because Marcy takes care of me.
That's amazing.
She truly was like, I found a therapist. It was a recommendation from a friend. I do think you should talk to someone. And I was like,
I wonder
I think
if
you are
it's
right.
The same therapist a lot of hipster people go to. There's this one hipster people. There's this one therapist who, like, seems to treat a lot of people in my circle, and I went to high school with her.
Oh, no, you did not go to high school with Mary.
Okay, great.
Mary's an older woman.
Oh, Mary's an older woman.
Oh,
okay.
She's,
and then, you know,
older.
Sissy Fenwick at UCB just got certified as a therapist.
Yes, but I feel like that would be weird.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying you should go. I was saying, like,
okay.
Open ad for Sissy.
That's nice. Sissy's great. You should, if you live in the LA area, hit her up for some help.
I've had the same psychiatrist for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I love him. And we're, like, super close. I mean, not in, like, a weird way. Although, he gave me his, like, Instagram username. So, like, maybe he's, like, an unorthodox psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. He's, like, a cool psychiatrist. He surfs. And I was on set. And I was like, oh, I got to go to therapy in Santa Monica right now.
Mm-hmm.
And someone I work with was like, what's your psychiatrist's name?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and he's like, oh, that's my psychiatrist, too. So I ran into someone else who shares him.
I started going to a psychiatrist like a year ago because I was like having issues and I was like, I think I have ADD. I don't know. Something's going on. And then I went to the psychiatrist and she was like, you definitely have ADD. It's bad ADD. And I was like, okay, cool. But her office hours are so weird.
Yeah.
She's like in the office Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then for half a second on Wednesdays and for 2 minutes on Thursday. It's very strange.
They can make their own hours. Does she take insurance?
Yes.
Oh, because I was going to say the ones that don't take insurance are unfortunately like seen as like the upper tier ones, mm-hmm. and they really can make their own hours because
she does not take insurance. And I think I am supposed to submit my receipts to my insurance company to get reimbursed slightly.
So it's like, so that means like she's like higher end can make her own weird fucking hours.
Look
I think
at me with a high end psychiatrist.
It sucks that that's the case, but it's the unfortunate truth that a lot of the people who are quote unquote higher end. Although you know what, I started therapy in college, and I started going to this place. It's called National Institute for the Psychotherapies. It's mm-hmm. it's right on Columbus Circle, and I paid $5 a session, and it was amazing. And basically, it was certified psychologists who were studying psychoanalysis, and it was fucking great. Therapy's fun. I mean, my show is basically about how great therapy is. Are you on any meds now?
I am. I'm on Vyvanse because I told her I liked cocaine. And you cannot abuse Vyvanse. She's like, you can crush it. You can snort it. It's same. It's time released. And I said, yeah, right. You better believe I snorted one. I was like, yes.
Holy shit. Wait, released. Did it feel like cocaine?
No.
Wait, is it, how does cocaine, cocaine focuses you in the same way Vyvanse does? That's so interesting.
So like in college or theater school, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't real college, we would do a lot of coke and I would learn lines. I would clean. And I would be like, guys, good night. Like, I would just go to sleep and people would be like, how are you sleeping? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's time for bed.
Holy shit. So coke literally works with your body chemistry.
Mm-hmm. And then coffee. I can drink a pot of coffee and go right to sleep.
Oh.
It's annoying.
But you'd think that would be, this is me not being a doctor, you'd think mm-hmm. that would be the opposite, that if you have ADD, because I have touches, you know, everyone's on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. I definitely have touches of the ADHD, and my psychiatrist has been like, coke would be very bad for you because mm-hmm. you're already at that kind of blah, 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 blah level.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have tried it, and I didn't. I hadn't done enough to, it just woke me up from a glass of wine.
Yeah, medication's interesting. Are you on medication?
I am. I am on the delicious Prozac.
Mm, nom, nom, nom,
and
nom.
Actually, the last time I just met with him, he is a really big fan. So, like, the great thing about being with a psychiatrist is everything is – it's very holistic. Everything is connected. So it's mm-hmm. like we're going to put you on the Prozac to supplement the talk therapy. And he's mm-hmm. a very, very conservative doser because it's like, what's going to make you feel better? And so I did a genetic cheek swab to see – he's going to take a look at what my genetic – serotonin and dopamine levels are because we think I might be gaining weight from the Prozac. I mean, mm-hmm. it could be that or the donuts on set, but I've definitely, between the time I started the show and mm-hmm, now I'm like mm-hmm. 15 pounds heavier. So I may be switching, but the Prozac worked, I mean, excellently. And I haven't mm-hmm. The only side effect I've seen maybe is weight gain, but it might not be that. Everything else, like I still want to fuck.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm a very big, not advocate for medication, but I'm like, take it. Like, if you need it, take it.
I'm literally working on a song right now that kind of relates to this. Mm-hmm. So it's on my mind a lot. Yeah, it's great. Medication is great if it's mm-hmm. like the right dosage for
and
your
done
body.
Done well and someone is helping you through it. Because I would do stand-up sets and I used to always have to have my notebook with me.
Yeah.
And if I was doing two shows in a night, I would get really confused and be like, I think they've heard this already. And it's like, oh, they heard it in the earlier show. And then I'd be like, okay. And then I would just spend a lot of time just in my head and not in the moment. And then I started taking my medicine. And now when I do shows, if I skip a joke, I'm able to, while I'm talking, go, we'll just say that joke next.
Well, that's fucking awesome.
And yeah, it's been just so rewarding.
So it's being made you a better comedian.
It really has. It's been fucking phenomenal, and I love it. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Did you meet Gregor at UCB?
Yeah. So, by the way, I'm like, I have some post-nasal drip, and it sounds like I'm snorting, so I didn't just do coke before here.
She's railing lines of cocaine as we talk.
Yeah. So, it's going to make him sound a little creepy, but not really. He was one of the founders of my college sketch group.
Mm-hmm.
So he was at my audition when I was 18 for this mm-hmm. group called Hammercats.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know them from New York. Mm-hmm. So he literally heard me out in the hallway being louder than everyone else auditioning. He was like, who is this fucking annoying fucking theater kid? And I came in and auditioned and I fucking nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we became friends. We met in passing and then a month or two later, I was home visiting my high school because I missed I went and saw my high school's fall play because I was like homesick.
You're adorable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so I was on the plane back to New York from LA, and this guy comes up to me at California Pizza Kitchen and in the airport and is like, "Hey, it's me, Gregor." And I texted my friend. I was like, "They say their name is Gregor." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah."
They say their name is Gregor.
That's a weird name. He's like, "No, no, Dan Gregor." Actually, it was the guy I was dating at the time. I dated a lot of the same guys within this one sketch comedy group. It's not great. So Gregor and I became friends for a couple years, and then we started dating my senior year of college. Here's a fun fact about me. I have never had sex with a guy that didn't go to NYU.
Really?
Yeah. I've
been with the same dude. You got a bougie-ass puss.
It's really bougie.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
It's really, I've been with the same guy since I was 21. I have only had one type of dick in me.
Oh, that's so.
I mean, not one. They've been different. It's
different
not just
dicks,
like,
but they're Ivy League educated dicks. NYU's Ivy League, right?
Oh, it is fucking not.
It's not?
Columbia had a Facebook group called NYU Students Will Be Bagging My Groceries One Day
because
Ivy. Oh, they're such fucks.
How
I hate them.
Rude.
Oh, they're such. I interned at SNL with a guy who went to Columbia and he corrected my pronunciation of Ahmadinejad.
Who's Ahmadinejad?
He was the prime minister of, right, president? Prime minister of Iran.
Girl, I don't know.
He was the Iran guy.
Oh, okay.
And I mispronounced his name, and I remember him being like, "It's Ahmadinejad. He's a world leader." And then a couple weeks later, he was trying to talk to Michaela Watkins, who remains an amazing human being, and he referred to one of the sketches as a skit.
Oh, no.
And Michaela Watkins very nicely was like, "Oh, it's called a sketch," and she walked away. And then Columbia turns to me, and he's like, what's the difference? Because he just got, he just got corrected by an SNL. And I was like, well, Columbia, a skit is something you do at a summer camp. And a sketch has a game and it heightens. And then it has a button and a blackout, you know.
What a nerdy argument that I'm thrilled was had.
It was wonderful. I felt so superior. No, NYU is like mid-level. It's like, the stereotype of it, I mean, I went there for theater, so it's different. But the stereotype of it, I think, with grades is that if you get rejected from all the Ivies, you get an NYU. So I've had, like, you know, mid-level dick, which is, I think, appropriate for the level of quality sex I've had, except for my husband.
Mm-hmm. So you've been together for 10 years.
Yeah.
Married for?
Almost four.
Okay. And where did he propose to you?
We were in New York. And he proposed to me in front of his old apartment in the West Village where we first started dating. It was so romantic. And I totally saw it coming because we were in New York for his best friend's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept talking about when we get married. And I thought it would be a couple more years because I knew at the time he wanted to make this movie, which I ended up being in. And he had just, How I Met Your Mother that he wrote on was ending. So I was like, there's no way he's going to want to pay for a wedding and an engagement ring now. But he kept, like, kind of, I think, unconsciously bringing up, like, oh, when we get married. And finally one day, I remember we were at, I think, the bar Blockheads. Remember that bar?
Yes, because they had, like, $5 frozen margaritas.
Yes, we were at Blockheads.
So sugary.
Oh, that place.
At, like, 54th or something?
Yes, exactly. We were at Blockheads with my friend, and my friend went to the bathroom. And we were he kept bringing up the wedding thing, and I was like, hey, when do you think this is going to happen? He's like, well, I don't know, like, soon, right? And that was, like, news to fucking me. I had no idea. I wasn't pushing for it. I wasn't pushing for a proposal. And so I went to the bathroom and I texted one of my best friends who's married to his writing partner. I was like, hey, I think Gregor might propose. I made a Pinterest page for engagement rings because she had told me to, because she had, of course, known. And little did I know he'd already bought the ring. So anyway, it was New Year's Eve and we were in this hotel room. He'd gotten a nice hotel and he's like, let's go for a walk. It was like snowing outside. I was like, no, I want to cuddle and fuck. And he's like, let's go for a walk. Okay, let's go for a walk. And then while we were getting ready for the walk, I was on Facebook and a bunch of proposals were happening. I was like, ugh, everyone's getting engaged today. I'm engaged. I was like, how basic is that? And his face, like, went ashen. And I instantly was like, oh, fuck. And so as we were walking, I kind of knew. And I tried to, like, take up time. Because I was, like, nervous. And I was nervous. I was about to get proposed to.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, oh, there's a Marc Jacobs store. Why is there a Marc Jacobs store everywhere? Why do we need more Marc Jacobs store? And he was like, hey, can you stop talking for just a second? We were both really nervous. It was really sweet.
That's so cute.
I was a child. Like, I see my wedding photos. I was 28. Mm-hmm. And I look, I mean, partially because I was young, but also I think because of the like 10, 15 pounds I've gained, I look like I'm a fetus. I look like I'm a true child bride.
That's funny to look at pictures truly from not that long ago. And you're like, I looked so young and I'm getting so much older.
Oh, it was, I mean, I see pictures from the pilot because I had in my head, you know, when you move out here, like New York, I didn't think about my body much. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, I don't know.
I also never thought about my body in New York.
You just don't think about it. You don't really talk about it. And mm-hmm. maybe that's a luxury of being with the same guy. And also I was skinnier, especially in college. And then I moved out here and I started going to commercial auditions and I instantly felt super fucking out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had it in my head when I was getting married and we were making the pilot, like, oh, I'm so normal. I'm going to show people what a real body looks like or whatever. And I look at pictures of myself in the pilot. I'm like, I was so skinny.
Mm-hmm.
That body dysmorphia is crazy. I was a size 4.
Yeah,
what?
That's tiny.
Why would I ever think that that's anything but like in good shape? Because now I'm like
LA
an 8.
LA will fucking do that to you.
Yeah.
You just kind of, I think it's warmer, so people wear less clothes most of the time. In New York, everyone's bundled up for like, what, 6 months out of the year?
Yep.
And then you just see these insanely unattainable bodies. Like whenever I go to the gym, I'm like, that's a fake butt. That's fake. That's fake. Right. That's fake. Everything is fake. And I just have to remember that like they bought it. It's not like they were blessed with something that I wasn't blessed with. Also, everybody is a different body. And that was a hard thing to accept. And it's funny that like I also in New York was fine with it, moved out here and then had to like get okay with my body that I was already okay with.
Sure.
Which was a very, very strange journey.
But now you're, you are super fucking, like, I feel like every other Instagram post is you, like, in a bikini.
I love this fat little body now.
You look fucking great.
Thank you. Yeah, it took a minute, and I don't know why it took so long. It was a very weird journey to go on.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. So, wait, so you and Gregor were friends first,
yeah.
And then when did you become, like, exclusive? I'm mystified by this exclusive conversation that people have or don't have.
So I had that in my head, too. So let's see. We were friends. We made out, like, once or twice, and then, again, I can't overstate how much I dated literally everyone around him. and so we...
Wait, before you get into
that,
we gotta take a break! Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors.
big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
And now we're back. Oh, what a juicy break. Okay, so how did you guys become exclusive?
So I have to like catalog. Okay, I was in LA with my parents. He was in LA for work because he already had an agent, which was like a really big deal.
Wow.
And we hooked up one summer and we spent like a week together constantly. He had like a barbecue. We made out and then we hooked up and then I went to Amsterdam for a theater program. Thinking about him the whole time. And I came back to New York to start my senior year and we started dating kind of instantly. And then I remember I was in a class that studied the history of South Africa, and the end of the class was going to South Africa with the class, which was a life-changing experience. And I remember being in South Africa and everyone asking me about Gregor and me not knowing what to call him. And so I got back and I was like, so everyone was asking me what to call you in South Africa. Could I call you my boyfriend? And, you know, I was 21 and he was 27, which is actually kind of a bigger gap. He's like, yeah, I guess you're my girlfriend, right? It was just less of a big deal to him, or at least it seemed. And so I literally was like, let's have the conversation. It's like, you're my boyfriend, right? And I found out later that pretty much the moment we started dating in New York, he wasn't seeing other people. And I certainly wasn't because I was already in love with him.
That's so sweet that you knew so soon.
But it's because I said something. It's because I said, I feel like you're my boyfriend. And he was like, oh, yeah.
I never know when to have that conversation. I think it's very hard because I never want to hear the answer I don't want to hear. You know what I mean? So I just like put it off.
Look, if there's one thing I have learned, it's that openness and communication are really important. Now, I am open to a fault. I have a problem with boundaries. There's a term anal retentive, and there's also a term anal expulsive. I am anal expulsive.
I've never heard that before.
I share too much. I'm too open. I let my feelings out. I need everything to be codified. I make the subtext text, if you will.
Okay.
And so I was never going to let it slide without with us being in a nebulous space for long. But I could see the fear of, like, if you say, like, I consider you my boyfriend, and the guy's like, what? Oh, I've been seeing multiple people.
Yeah, because I keep reading articles that men are dating like six women at one time.
Right.
Which is crazy.
And if you've established with the other person, look, I'm not exclusive with anyone. It's weird when you're, though, in that nebulous space, theoretically.
Yeah, I mean,
have you run into that? Like guys who you found out he was dating? Because it's not cheating.
No, it's just not cheating because you haven't had that conversation yet. I recently ran into a dude. I mentioned it on another episode, but I did run into a guy that I was seeing on a date with somebody else. And like the day after our date, and I was like, okay. I mean, I had just given my number to the Lyft driver that he paid for. Dick's still on the breath. So I was like, we're all in these streets, like, being crusty little animals. But then it was just, like, in front of me. So I was a little, it felt insane.
That's weird.
And then we talked about it, and it was fine, and we continued dating for a little bit. But, yeah, it was just very strange, a very strange moment to have. I think I give up dating for now. I'm so tired.
I learned some interesting facts. There's an article in The Atlantic right now about the sex recession, that people are fucking less for whatever reason.
Really?
This is what the article is trying to figure out. And I learned that pre-World War II, you didn't have boyfriends. You basically casually courted, and then when you found a person you really liked, you married them.
Oh.
It was only post-World War II, when there was a man shortage, that women wanted to then, not lock down, but like have more serious relationships with men before marriage. And literally teenage women coined the terms like going steady, you're my boyfriend. And then that's also why the teenage pregnancy rate rose, because as opposed to, oh, I'm kind of courting, I'm kind of seeing this guy, he's my boyfriend, we're fucking. And then you get pregnant because no one told them that fucking, you know, leads to babies. And so the idea of having a boyfriend and being exclusive is a relatively new idea. And my parents, I mean, I just have old parents. My dad was born in 45. My mom was born in 53. But they never called, they didn't use the term boyfriend and girlfriend. Like apparently they didn't live with anyone before they lived with each other. And then I think my mom was like kind of hooking up with someone else until the moment my father proposed.
Really?
And it wasn't like cheating.
No.
They just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And then he proposed. She was like, all right, I guess I'm not going to hook up with that other dude anymore.
Interesting.
Which is so, but it was within a year of them meeting.
That's wild.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. Like, to know someone for a year and then be like, well, I want to be with you forever.
And she's like, okay, I guess I'll stop fucking the other guy.
I think it's really interesting that it seems like women had the power when longer relationships before marriage were established. And then men, I feel like, have gathered the power now.
Sure.
Which they've taken it.
Well, look, my father is also not an alpha, if you will. So, I mean, I think that if we're talking about men being possessive or taking advantage of women, my father, in a good way, is not an example of someone who's going to be possessive. Although, there is this story of, God, they went to some singles dance earlier when they were dating. And, you know, there are these songs that are like, you can dance with anyone you want to, but don't forget who's taking you home and whose arms you're going to be, which is crazy to me that you would dance with anyone who isn't the person who brought you to a dance. But apparently people used to do that. And someone offered my mom a ride home. My dad stepped in and went, she has a ride.
That's
it's like the one alpha macho story I've heard.
That's like at the end of Back to the Future when Lorraine is dancing with Marty's dad. And then that guy cuts in and then he like pushes him and he's like, she's mine.
Yeah.
So your dad is Marty McFly's dad.
That makes a lot of sense. I was going to compare when you said that you were raised by a dad who your mom died and didn't understand teenagers. That's just like the movie Casper.
Mmm. It is
Bill
like
Pullman
Casper.
Doesn't know what to do with Christina Ricci.
So then he moved her into a haunted house.
And then Casper kissed her.
Mm-hmm. She got kissed by a ghost.
That's got to be weird to be sexually attracted to. You've seen Casper, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's got to be weird to be like sexually into. You're into this like fellow 13-year-old boy mm-hmm. who becomes real for a night. And then he turns back into a cartoon ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Do you then have a romantic relationship with a cartoon ghost?
I don't think you can. But I mentioned this on the podcast earlier. There is a woman who married a ghost. She married a spirit. She said he proposed. He did not get on a knee because he doesn't have knees.
Right. She said that?
Yes. And that made me laugh very hard.
That's great.
But then I think she says they have sex. And I'm like, but if you don't have knees, you don't have a dick.
Well, what is she talking about? Is she talking about like in Her, where it's all like kind of, you know, it's basically phone sex.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe she's like diddling herself and pretending.
It's gotta
be
him.
Not pretending, but like, I don't know. Like, I was like, this poor woman. Maybe I should start dating a ghost.
What ghost would you want to date?
I think I'd like to date a ghost who, I mean, he's not real, but I think, what's his name from Titanic?
Wait, I asked you to choose a ghost and then you still chose a fictional character. I literally said choose between any dead person in the history of humanity. And you're like, you know what? Billy Zane from Titanic?
Yeah.
You're not even choosing Jack? You're choosing Billy fucking... You're choosing the bad guy in Titanic?
But he's not bad. All he wants is...
You're defending Cal?
Cal just wants to shower Rose with money and presents, and he's bringing her on a great big ship, and then she cheats on him with Jack.
It's true.
You know? And then, of course, he gets upset about it. They're, like, on a sinking ship. Yama shoot, Jack. He fucked my girl. I don't think Cal... I think Cal has been misrepresented as a villain.
Should you try to just date Billy Zane?
I saw him recently, and he was a little puffy. I should go for
that's,
it. Let's see.
I like how we're talking about in these conversations about the male gaze. You're just like, ugh, whatever. Billy Zane's puffy.
Billy Zane's puffy. Well, I mean, if we can shit on women's bodies, I'm a shit all over dude.
Yeah.
Okay, a ghost, a real ghost.
So if Cal were a real person,
yes.
So maybe what you want is like another guy from the Titanic.
Yeah, like a uppity man who was on the Titanic with a great head of hair and still has as a ghost. But let's see. Who's a dead person I like to date? I guess Heath Ledger. He's very attractive.
Oh, yeah.
I would let the ghost of Heath Ledger fuck me.
He's very moody. Okay, you'd let him fuck you, but he's very moody. Like, I mean, especially when he died, he was in a very bad mental state. So if he came back as kind of a depressed ghost.
But maybe he went to ghost therapy.
Well, that's an Adult Swim 15-minute if I ever heard it.
Okay, let me write it down, and I'm going to pitch it tomorrow.
Okay, make sure you're a man, because that's what they buy.
I mean, you're not telling a lie.
I am not telling. I don't even know what. I don't know what's on Adult Swim besides Robot Chicken and Rick and Morty.
Did you? You wrote for Robot Chicken.
I did, and they're lovely. They're great. I just still think of the head of Adult Swim, who I've met, saying, like, women aren't funny and they only bring drama to a writer's room. And, like,
oh
so that's why he didn't buy the show that I pitched him, maybe. Interesting.
Life gets to be so exhausting.
Oh.
Just so exhausting. Here's a question.
Yeah.
How do you keep it spicy after 10 years?
Well, so here's the thing. I have no boundaries. I would tell you everything. I'm trying to think of what Gregor would be okay with me telling.
Okay.
I think, you know, and I think it's an ongoing conversation of what, because you're asking a lot from a monogamous relationship. Mm-hmm. You're asking for the perfect roommate, the perfect emotional support system, the perfect dog parent, co-dog parent, the perfect, like, life partner, and then a sexual partner. And often the things that we want sexually are very not in tune with, like, oh, I really respect you and you're such a good parent to my dog, you know? And so I think it's like, okay, well, what are the gaps in our, like, very respectful relationship that I want to then, like, bring that dynamic into the bedroom?
The
and
bedroom.
It's about talking about it and communicating. And when it comes to trying new things, sometimes I'm still, and I'll try anything and I'll try new things, but I do still a little bit because I don't want to look silly. That's my yes. biggest fear, is I don't want to look silly. And I'll say that my husband and I, because we both come from sketch and improv, we mm-hmm. still haven't done any like role playing because I think we're just worried we'll go into like yes and mode, you know? Like, I can't picture a world where it's like, oh, you got this bad grade on your test. Well, I'm sorry, I've been having problems at home. Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about your problems.
Yeah, like it's just hard to, because good role playing is just bad improv.
Correct.
So,
and I don't think I'd get into role playing at all, specifically because my job is to role play.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'd be so weird, like in a bedroom, to put on like a Raggedy Ann wig and be like, I'm a doll. Do you want to fuck a doll?
There's also a level of being unself-aware that you have to have. Look, that you have to have in sex in general. Sex is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But with the role-playing idea, I mean, it's what you said. I'm a doll.
Do you want me to just lay here? I'm a doll who came to life. Put your dick in my doll mouth. Uh-oh, it doesn't open. Oh, my hands don't bend.
So like then you're just like, so like you're just doing it improv because you're if then what else-ing the doll. But the real way to do it is like, okay, I'm trying to imagine if I actually needed to like be a sexy doll. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, hi, I came to life. Just a second. That's bad improv. Like, yeah, really? You came to life? Where'd you live? Anytime it's like, I lived in a little girl's bedroom, but then I was masturbating at night in a little girl's bedroom. Every time you elaborate or add a backstory, it makes it less sexy.
Yeah, because it's like a doctor-patient thing to me is not inherently sexy because it's like, oh, I gotta check you out. Yeah, because I'm sick. Like, that's not sexy to me. Hey, and then like a teacher-student,
can you check out
grade.
The cyst on
You're
my arm?
Stupid. Like, it's like none of these role-playing things are sexy to me. The only thing that seems sexy is like a furry. Like, you know those people who dress up like monsters or whatever and be like, I'm a monster and I'm gonna suck your dick. Like, great. Okay. There's nothing weird about that.
Because it's complete escapism. Yes. If you're in a cat suit and you're just like, meow, would you like to come play with me? Like, it's not, you're not playing a version of yourself or a character. You're just playing a completely different thing. That's apparently the second top search term on Pornhub last year was manga or hentai porn.
Interesting.
People love fucking like cartoons, aliens or animals and stuff, or like tits the size of footballs.
I got tricked into watching like a Family Guy porn once. It was just like a naked Family Guy thing, and I was like, I'll
on
click
Pornhub,
on that.
You
What's
see
that?
Those like one in five times I watch porn, there's like a Lois Griffin getting fucked from behind. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And it's disturbing. Because I'm like, why? Who wanted this? Whoever watched Family Guy and was like, gotta see these people naked.
People really want to see Quagmire fuck Lois.
Ew.
Is the sense I've gotten from the ads.
It's so fucking weird. And then sometimes they'll be like Aladdin and Jasmine fucking. And I'm like, but like.
The Disney shit is amazing. I once saw like just a still of erotic fan art of the genie having like a giant blue dick up Aladdin's ass, and it literally was like coming out his throat.
Oh no, he was murdering Aladdin.
I'm super, actually, you know what, the weird thing is, this is kind of fucked up. So I was an only child. I had a really active imagination, and I had a lot of imaginary friends. And around the time I was in third grade, I started to really imagine that I was in like a relationship with Bonkers D. Bobcat from the Disney weekday afternoon show Bonkers.
I've never seen this.
Well, he's an animated bobcat. Huh. And I literally like, I would like be in my bed and like pretend a pillow was him and like pretend to have sex with him.
Really? I used to kiss my wall.
Your wall.
Yeah. I would make out hardcore with my wall.
A spot or just any wall?
Any wall. Any wall in my room. I'd be like, hi, Keith. I had a crush on a boy named Keith in elementary school. I'd be like, hi, Keith, how are you? And he'd be like, fine. Because I would do his voice.
You do his voice?
And I'd be like, Keith, can I kiss you? And he'd be like, yeah, of course. And then I'd just gently kiss a wall.
Like, do you think you were good?
Like,
was it any tongue or was it like just...
I think it was just like... just kisses with no tongue, because I didn't realize tongues were involved until someone kissed me with a tongue.
Oh, that's a crazy moment.
Yeah.
I remember the first time a tongue was in my mouth.
Wild.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is what? Okay. And I have a tiny tongue, so.
Really?
Yeah, it's really short.
That seems off brand. Oh, you have a tiny little tongue.
It's very, very short.
I actually have kind of a big tongue.
Yeah, you have a good tongue.
I have a good tongue.
Yeah, mine's very tiny.
You have a tiny little tongue.
So, like.
But yet you're really good at giving head.
I'm very good at it because there's a whole technique. So you have to grip it.
Sure. Well,
harder
of course.
Than you think.
Right.
Because if it's loose, then it's like, well, what's the point of even gripping it?
Hmm.
And then the head has the most sensory shit in it. So, you know, flick that. Like when you're coming up, wiggle your tongue around and then wiggle it around on the top and then spit on it a little bit.
Sure.
They love spit.
Here's my question about the gripping. Because you want to, like, you want it to be, like, loose so that you can slide up and down. Because here's the thing. If a guy is circumcised, mm-hmm. it's not as much a thing of, like, just grabbing the dick and moving the skin. If a guy mm-hmm. has a foreskin,
yes.
then you can grab the dick and,
yes,
like, move.
And really
then
go
there's
for
a point
it.
To that
yes.
motion. But otherwise, you kind of have to, like.
You have to, like, twist
your hand.
You have
to twist
hand.
It. You end up doing the twisting thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you gotta, you know, play with those balls.
Sure.
Sometimes you play with that little taint, and then they go, oh, boy.
How, okay, because I'm interested in your cross-section. How open are guys to doing butthole stuff?
I will stick a little pinky near there, and if they don't seem, if a hand gets pushed away, I go, okay, no butt stuff for you. But if they seem to enjoy it, then I'm like, okay. Let's keep going.
Okay, logistical question. Mm-hmm. You have beautiful long nails.
Yes.
Does that hurt?
No one has ever said it hurts, but I don't really insert into butts when I have nails because I don't know how clean you are. Unless we've been out a couple times and I'm like, okay, you have
right.
a clean butthole. So I'll use the back of my finger to rub their taint.
To rub their taint.
Yes.
So you're not.
Or like a little bit of the butthole, like a little knuckle in the butt.
Sure. So you're very rarely like going up in it.
Yeah. I'm not going up in there unless we have a history and have had sex numerous times.
Sure.
And before we begin, he's like, I'm game for that. If you're game for that. And I'm like, great. That means you washed your butt.
Right.
Because you got to wash that ass.
Oh.
If I'm going to eat your ass, you got to wash it like an apple.
1,000%.
Got to wash an apple before you eat it. Most people don't. You need to. They spray them with shit.
I agree, but it doesn't get the stuff. I mean, the guys I know, the gay guys I know, mm-hmm. or the guys I know who sleep with men, because some of them are bi, of course, there's a whole system.
Oh yeah, you gotta douche
there's
that
a
butt.
There's a whole enema thing, mm-hmm. and
or enema. Yes,
straight guys aren't doing that shit.
No, they're not.
We have a Japanese toilet.
That's nice.
So we do have like a jet.
Well,
option.
Then that means Gregor's butt's ready for it.
I mean,
fair. He's not here to defend himself.
He's not here to defend himself. I mean, when you're with someone for 10 years, you just mm-hmm. I know every crevice of that man's body.
I want that. I truly.
It's fascinating. It's really interesting to know. I know where all his scars are. Mm-hmm. Like there's a spot on his head where he got stitches numerous times from jumping on the bed when he was a kid. Like the same bed, same time.
So that story, too many monkeys jumping on a bed, was literally
true.
For him?
Literally. And he paid no mind. And so there's a spot on the back of his head where I'll be like, oh, there's your mm-hmm. bed bump. I can feel the little scars, and it's like that all over his body.
I would love to be in a relationship, and I don't know why I'm not. Rachel?
I don't know why you're not either. Here's the thing is, like, I think the people who are in long-term relationships who try to give a lot of advice, it's kind of bullshit, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of it's luck and time and place. Like, I never thought I'd be the person to be with a dude for 10 years since my early 20s. It just kind of, I don't know, it was weird and it mm-hmm. happened and like we just kept doing it and I blinked and it's like 10 years later and I don't know why.
Well, you're lucky. Here's a question. Would you date me?
Oh my God. Yes.
Oh, what a dream.
I think you'd be a great girlfriend.
Oh, what a treat. Thank you so much.
I mean, like, who would say no?
Oh, you'd be surprised. A lot of people.
Well, sure.
A lot of people have said no, thank you.
Have you dipped into the comedy community at all?
Yes. And dipped out because I can't. Can't do it. It was like walking to a room being like, I fucked 5 of these people. This is not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And then I feel like a lot of comedy dudes bring a lot of baggage, especially the older ones who are still single.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been trying to, like, do the apps and asking friends to, like, hook me up with their friends. And it's going, I would say, poorly.
Okay.
If I were to, like, put a word to it.
Sure.
Bad,
sure.
Even. Not fun. Terrible.
Is there any interest you have that maybe you could be, like, that's why I was like, oh, are you into Harry Potter? Is there any interest that you have that maybe you haven't plumbed the depths of? Because, you know, there are always all these sites where you can meet people. Are you, like, weirdly into, you're wearing a Looney Tunes shirt. Are you, I guess you don't really want to date guys who
no,
are like, I'm so
into
Looney Tunes.
No, I don't want to date somebody who's like, I love fucking Looney Tunes, man. Tweety's hot. I mean, I don't know. I don't want, like, a super fan of anything. Like, people who love Disney, I think, are crazy. Do you love Disney?
I mean, yeah.
People love Disney, and I don't get it. It's a little dirty rat wearing clothes.
So here's the thing, is I'm not really hugely into Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with a year-long pass to Disneyland, mm-hmm. and I just renewed my pass, so I love specifically Disneyland.
Ah.
And I love Disney musicals, but the Mickey stuff, I'm not like fair. A big Mickey fan.
Mickey's weird for me. I like the movies. Lion King, I'm going to go see the live action one, even though it's not live action. I think those are CGI'd.
It 1,000% is, and it's shot for shot. Well, there's a whole thing talking about
shot for shot, really?
I mean, but there's a whole thing talking about that animators don't have a proper union, and so a lot of the work done in the original is now being used for the remake, and they're not getting any credit or
that
money.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Rachel?
Yeah.
We've come to the end.
Wow, that went by so quickly.
It did. Do you have anything you want to promote?
I watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's on Fridays at 9 on the CW and soon to be on Netflix. We're on our last season.
Yeah. Well, not yay for your last season.
No, I'm happy.
Four seasons?
Yeah, we only ever wanted to do four. It was by choice.
Oh, what a fucking dream.
The odds of this happening are so slim. I'm really happy that I'm living on the planet. Because, like, there's this theory that there are infinite planets and, like, there are a bunch of us living different lives on different planets. I'm really happy to live in the planet where this happened.
Oh. Well, I'm sure you'll have many more shows after this, or you'll be producing or whatever. Because truly, it's a great show. If you haven't watched an episode, honestly, you should watch it. From the pilot to this season is so fucking funny, and you're great on it.
Thank you.
And truly, there's very few musical TV shows. I think you're the only one right now.
We keep being the only one to survive the gauntlet.
Uh-huh, because there was Glee, but then Glee had to go.
Well, and they did covers. So.
Yes, bitch, Glee! Okay.
And date Nicole, guys.
Yes, somebody date me, please!
Do you ever get people reaching out from this podcast being like, I'll date you?
Yes. Yes. But usually they open up with something like, I know you don't want to date a dude with dreams. I have no money. I have a tiny dick. Do you want to go out? And I'm like, you put everything bad first.
So you don't want to date a dude with dreams?
No, I kind of want him to be living his dream. I want him to be happy. I don't want to date someone as they try to find themselves.
So you want someone with some money?
I mean, their own money. Like,
yeah.
I want to be able to go on a vacation with you.
You want a fucking man.
Yes, I would like a man.
Yep.
And if you like this podcast, you can subscribe, follow it on iTunes and shit. If you leave me a review or slide into my DMs, if it's fun, I'll read it. This man who has a weird toupee in his profile picture and a strange mustache said, if things don't work out, would you be my date to a Weird Al concert in Denver, Colorado, August 1st, next year? I have a VIP ticket. If it does work out, think about it. What a treat of a message.
Wait, that's actually pretty great.
But here's the question. What? Does he only have one ticket? Am I going alone or with him?
He's just being nice.
He's like, I just want to send you to a Weird Al concert.
I am married with six children. I just really like you as a person.
I can't go with you.
If things don't work out. Oh, so it's like if you're not doing anything.
Yeah, but it's a very weird message. Sir,
I think you should do that.
Please clarify. Maybe I will. Who knows?
Record an episode.
Maybe I'll find love with this man.
Actually, love at a Weird Al concert's not a bad idea.
No, it's not, because then it'd be like a fun weirdo who's there. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you, Rachel Bloom!
Thanks for having me!
Bye-bye.
has been a Team Coco production.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.